This is the Red Bull Rant Podcast. If you aren't expecting adult language, why even bother listening?
Welcome, my friends, to the show never ends. This is the Red Bull Rant Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Iapico.
I'm Truman, and this is episode 457, Late Night Letdown.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Hey, at least we didn't lose. Right?
Sure.
And arguably, we should have won that game. We'll talk about why in a minute, but...
Mm-hmm.
New York comes out of L.A. with a 2-2 draw. Should have been a 2-1 victory, possibly even 2-0, but we'll get to that. Before our thoughts, do we have any tweets?
Just a tweet from our friend Jeremiah at Red Coach J. He said, "This was the soccer equivalent of that Looney Tunes gag where Yosemite Sam is shooting his gun at the ground and levitating like a badass, except every other bullet hits our own foot."
That is pretty accurate.
I believe it literally hit our own foot in the waning moments of that game.
Went off to LA. The game tying goal.
Yep.
All right. So let's get into this one with our likes and dislikes. Jim, you can go first. What do you dislike about this one?
I could get it. There's a lot of things to be upset about, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of things to be happy about, but I'm going to beat you to it. That penalty was bullshit. It was bullshit. You cannot convince me that was a penalty. They showed that replay. Literally, they showed it how many times? Back and forth and back. Like, they literally did back and to the left. Back and to the left. Over and over and over again. And every time I will never ever say, and, you know, that's not a penalty when it is. Jay, that was not a penalty. It was not.
No, it was two players whose feet happened to come together.
Blows my mind that they called that, and then they did VAR, and they still, I feel at that point, they're like, well, we already called it, so we have to keep it that way. It was not a penalty in the box. Now, if you want to move to the semi-dislike of Max Bretos, and I forget who the other guy was, Max, of course, called LAFC games for quite a while. They were all in. Oh, it's a penalty. It's a penalty. It's a penalty. I mean, over. Oh, it's clear. I'm like, no, it's not fucking clear.
They were just pure in the bag for LASC. That was that was obvious.
And that is not, again, you and I talking. That was like half of Twitter saying that too.
Yeah.
As you're watching, everybody were talking about it. And I was like, I guess Max just can't shake it. And listen, props to Steve Cangelosi, because when he calls Red Bull games now, he is not all in on the Red Bulls, because he is a professional.
There are sometimes you can tell there's that little bit of like nostalgia for the Red Bulls with Steve, but.
I mean,
he keeps as neutral as possible.
Yeah. I can't get over how bad of a call that was. I really can't.
And when you look at that replay, the one that technically initiates contact is not Nealis.
Correct.
Nealis is tripped and ends up pulling the guy's leg because he's tripped. And honestly, if you were to tell me that, like, in real time, I probably would have said, yeah, that should have been a foul in favor of the Red Bulls. But if you told me, look at the replay, that they just said, all right, you know what? There is actually no foul there. I get that. Because you had two players that were like literally close together. One that was stopping. One that overran the ball. You're going to get tangled up. It's just going to happen. It's just going to happen. And I understand the VAR explanation. Let me phrase it. VAR explanation being a thing, but the explanation of Nealis initiating contact is obviously wrong.
Yeah.
So what's the fucking point of even announcing it if you're going to put the wrong call out there?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it.
Yeah. So funny enough, I started, I haven't really watched basketball in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching the the Knicks games.
Oh, do you want to get into fouls that weren't called? Do you want to get into that whole thing?
No, not even that. Just the NBA's replay review system, right? Just from a pure making sure you understand what's going on, like the ref having to look straight into the camera that's 6 inches from his face and explain in like two sentences what's going on. That was a, watching the Knicks series, those are much clearer explanations, at least to what they think their thought process is compared to the MLS.
Yeah.
What was it? Like the game that just happened last night, they're like, what was it? Make contact to a player while he was in the air, therefore it's a flagrant one. I'm like, okay, you may not agree, right? But you understand why they're calling it a flagrant one. At least you get the a clear explanation. This is why we're upgrading the foul to a flagrant one. We're just saying, oh, Nealis initiated contact, therefore it's a penalty. That doesn't prove anything.
No.
Because clearly that didn't happen.
Right. I was going to say, which is not what happened at all.
I mean, obviously the people in the stadium don't see what the people at home do, but still.
Now I'm just mad about Joel Embiid again. Now I'm riled up. We had to bring that up. Now I'm angry about that, too.
Oh, how he probably should have been ejected by pulling the guy's legs?
Yeah, ejected from the game, maybe suspended for a game. You, and again, right, I'm not trying to be a Nick Homer. He's on the ground grabbing Mitchell Robinson and pulling him down. Yeah. How is that not at least an ejection from the game? I swear to God. I don't want to blame refs, but my God. Terrible calls. Two terrible calls this week.
And Embiid scored 50 points last night, too.
Of course. I mean, when you get away with that, of course you can score 50 points. Maybe they should hit him in the knee again or hit his thigh. Oh, my God. So frustrating. And then
he put a knee in some guy's crotch and just got a flagrant one. Or not even a flagrant. He just got a foul.
Like, how are they not reviewing this? I, my God, it's a whole different story. It's a whole can of worms we opened about the Knicks. My God.
Maybe if we got to my dislike yet, which was going to be the, I don't know what I'm going to pick now.
It's Joel Embiid.
my dislike, just the second goal, because clearly we were inviting pressure. But up until that point, we were able to handle it. And I don't know what happened. Just all of a sudden, we just imploded.
8 minutes of defending.
Yeah. Which I don't know where 8 minutes came from, but the VAR review didn't last that long.
I wasn't too mad about that. It's just right. When you saw the 8 minutes, you're like, they're in fucking trouble. They're in trouble.
But that goal was just, I don't know. We are supposed to be better defending than that. We just fell apart.
Yeah.
And I don't blame Cornell for either goal that was given up, because one's a penalty kick and it's a crapshoot. It's honestly, it's probably like, what, 70-30 in favor of the shooter at this point.
Right. Penalty kick, he's not saving. You're not saving that shot. It's so perfectly placed. No one's stopping that.
Yeah.
And the other one, right.
He gets right on the penalty kick, too. It wasn't like he gets wrong.
Right.
And the second was an own goal because it deflected off LA. I mean, what's he supposed to do?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, no one's mad at him. He's been having a great season so far.
Yeah. The LA thing, I think, is just him being a young player and not understanding positioning. Because I think he drifted away from his guy when he didn't need to.
Yeah. One play.
And unfortunately, just put himself in a position to block his keeper from making it. Hopefully, that's just a youth thing, then he gets better. Likes? How about Forsberg scoring his first goal not from penalty kick?
Mm-hmm. Great goal.
I love the fact that when the ball came to him, what he's going to do, he just fucking smashes it in. He's like, I'm not going to finesse this or anything. I'm just going to make sure this goes into the fucking net.
Yep. And then, of course, the announcers got mad that no one was defending him, which maybe you should be. I don't know why no one's on that guy.
Yeah. Or even how the ball gets to him, because that wasn't the play, right?
Yeah.
That was just a lucky deflection, but good on him for noticing what's going on and saying, fuck it, I'm just going to put as much power into this as I can.
Yep. I mean, I guess I'll give the like of a point on the road, a point in a hard place to play. Again, now, of course, LA's still unbeaten at home, blah, 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 blah. But this point feels better than the point last week against Chicago, for sure.
Well, this was a point we kind of, I think we earned it more than the one in Chicago, against Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Against Chicago.
Back-to-back winnable games, though. Back-to-back games they could have absolutely won. It's the only thing that sucks.
I would say back-to-back they should have won.
Yeah.
Afterthoughts, Elias Manuel hitting the woodwork yet again.
I mean, what everyone can't see is me shaking my head up and down in agreement, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up, too.
I mean, give him credit for at least getting, especially this one, for at least getting a shot off. But
yeah, gosh darn it, man.
Yeah,
you could have just, we all could have gone to bed so happy.
There was that's three games this year that he had a chance to steal and hasn't. The first one was the breakaway in Orlando. The second was the Chicago game. And granted, the Chicago game wasn't just him, because that his shot was immediately followed by another one off the post. And then this one, I'm not saying he's bad. I think he's just unlucky at this point.
Yeah. But, he's putting the ball in good spots. Like, he's not hitting it and it's going 30 feet over the net.
Yeah.
You know, hitting woodwork, hitting the post. Like, he's right there. But he's showing that spark at the end of the game, which is, that's what we were talking about.
Yeah, because hitting the crossbar, hitting the post, right, realistically, that's like, what, half an inch of where your foot is placed. If it's a half an inch higher or lower, like, that's either over the bar or in the goal. Like, that's just, that is literally a matter of inches.
Yeah.
For the difference between a goal and not. So, hopefully, that luck turns around. Hopefully. But you're right, he's coming off and being... that spark, almost like a super sub on the offensive side that we desperately need.
That's exactly what he is. That's what we were talking about. That's exactly what he's doing. Just bury a few of those chances. That's all.
If he buries all three of those, that's 6 points that we get back.
Yeah.
But you know what they say: a point on the road in MLS or CONCACAF or whatever. Like, that's bare minimum what you would hope to get.
Yeah.
So worst case or best case right now, we're not losing. That's an important factor.
Right. Still only one game on the road where they laid an egg. The Columbus game. That's it.
And Columbus was very good in that game.
Yeah.
Let me look up our. So we are 2-1-3 on the road. 3 Yeah, okay. 2-1-3. So we lost one game. Actually, that's the only game we lost all year. I didn't realize that. That's the only game we've lost. We either won or drawn every other game. That's a pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah.
Notes here, because I screwed something up when I read the I put the wrong record down for who we're gonna talk about next. So realized that just looking at the page just now. All right. Any other afterthoughts?
No. I'm glad they didn't lose. I didn't have to go to bed mad. So there's that.
All right. So pain index, 32.4% are happy after the LA match. 56.8% are meh, which I get. 5.4% are sick and 5.4% are mad. I'm not sure how you can really be sick after this, unless you're talking about like the context of the refs.
Oh, that's, or the second goal just made you want to puke.
I guess so. But there was a response to this on Twitter at Drewski Doodles. They're second in the East while only having played 3 home matches. I'm chilling.
Yeah, legit. That's
really good context to have in this case. They are one of the teams that have played the least amount of games at home.
Yep.
Phil Duff. I'm real quick looking through the stats. Phil Duffy has only had 2 games at home. Montreal, 2 games. Let's see. Everybody else looks like they've had at least 4 or more at home. But with that context, yeah, that's pretty good. One of those wins is against Miami. So, all right. Prediction standings. So the standings themselves did not change. Truman Urine's first with 6. However, I got the full 3 points because I had called 2-2.
Yep.
So now only 1 point behind in the standing.
Another reason to be upset. I knew it too. I'm like, God damn it, 2-2. God damn it.
I honestly, it wasn't until the next morning, like, oh shit, I did 2-2.
Yeah.
I knew I remember draw. I just didn't remember 2-2. So. All right. Well, we'll both have points as well as the Red Bulls to pick up more points this weekend. Red Bulls will host Vancouver on Saturday, April 27th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Vancouver comes into this game with 5 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, 16 points, a plus 8 goal difference, number 2 in the West. And shocker, coming in with a 3 wins, 0-0 away record. So yet another test for Red Bulls. It's like MLS schedule makers and the soccer gods decided, what the hell can we throw at the Red Bulls? We're just going to throw the gauntlet down at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
All right, so Truman, you go first. What is your prediction for Saturday?
Red Bulls, don't let Vancouver do to you what what's a good way to describe this? Like what the Red Bulls almost did to LA, right? Take out a good home team. You have to win this game. Vancouver is playing really well. I don't care. They're coming all the way across the country. It is a tougher flight from the West to the East Coast, as we all know.
And from Vancouver, which is longer.
Yep. So, I mean, a very long trip. Could be longer if they were playing in Miami, but it's still a flight across the entire coast to coast at home. Come out and win this game. Let's do a 2-1, right? 2-1, I feel, is the standard. Vancouver's good, but the Red Bulls are good. And they got to be feeling at this point. They got to be feeling, hey, listen, one loss so far in the season. We're at home. This is the game again. Let's not get another dumbass fucking red card and sabotage ourselves. Get up, put up too early, and fucking win.
Well, on the bright side, Reyes is not playing. So
thank God.
A red card is less likely to happen. My big thing is I do not want Brian White come on a revenge tour. That's what I want. We sent the wrong forward packing, and I think he scored at this point 45 goals for Vancouver City left. So clearly we sent the wrong player away.
Well, duh.
I want to predict a win. I want to say 2-1. Okay, if this was later in the season, I would not do 2-1. Because I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I just kept even with you on points. But I think 2-1 is a realistic scoreline for this game. Vancouver's defensively, they're good. They've only let up 9 goals all year, same as us. They're good offensively. So I think 2-1 win is a fair result. I would love for it to be better than that, obviously, but I think that's realistic.
Hey, just checking the stats, Brian White has scored a goal in his last 3 games.
Yeah, let's not make it 4. Or if it is, that's the only goal Vancouver scores all year.
Right.
All game. Now, out of the last 3 games, how many did Barlow play in? Because that's the comparison point I want to know.
Right, the minutes. Well, Brian White has been starting every game. Barlow does not.
All right. Gotham FC, they unfortunately lost their first match of the year 2-0 at the Washington Spirit. That puts their record at 1-1-2, 4 points. Minus 12, 2 goal difference. Drops them to 11th in the NWSL. Their next match is on Wednesday, May 8th, 8 p.m., where they will travel to take on the Houston Dash. New York Red Bulls 2. They lost their last match against the Union 2 on penalty kicks after finishing 1-1 in regulation. That puts their record at 3-3-0, 14 points plus 4 goal difference. Second in the Eastern Conference behind Philly number 2. And their next match is Inter Miami 2 away on Friday, May 3rd at 6, which when I looked at the schedule, I honestly thought it was today. The day we were recording, I was like, oh, thank God.
Is Messi 2 on Miami 2? They have mini Messi?
Let's find out, actually.
Mini Messi. He's a little messy.
Does he have his, like, is his son actually somebody named Messi on the team? So.
But listen, if there was a relative of Messi, the Red Bulls would have tried to sign him already.
Oh, of course. The discovery rights would have been put in a while ago.
Yes. They love brothers. They love brothers of great players.
They gave away the wrong striker. They put discovery rights in on the wrong Rooney.
Yeah. Oops.
All right. With that, it is time for the F1 update.
And box now, box, box now, box for hard. Stay out, stay out, stay out.
Fuck, fuck! Why, what are you doing?
I did not stay up to watch this one. It was not going to happen. They were in China. We talked about it the other week. It was a 3 a.m. start. But great weekend for Red Bull, right? They went 1-3 in the sprint and 1-3 in the race. Max dominated yet another race. He started fourth in the sprint, I believe.
He did.
Right? And
it took him half the sprint race to get in the first.
Yeah. Yeah. But he gets there. So Red Bull back where they should be, just winning races, driving great. Nothing this weekend. Next weekend, they will be in Miami.
Which is another sprint race, I think.
While you look that up, I will tell everybody that they just opened. They had the grand opening of the F1 restaurant or experience, or whatever they call it, in the Boston Seaport. I didn't get to make it. But Red Bull's car, what RB19 was there. So they had one of their cars on display, which was really cool. I wish I could have gone down there, but I did have to work. But pretty rad. They're doing like a big viewing party for the race in Miami. I'll be at work again. But I love that. You get like a general mission, gets you into the place. And then you can literally just jump on one of the simulators when one's open. Seems pretty cool. So at some point this summer, I will go there and I'll give you all a full report on the experience.
I would love to try to drive on the simulator.
They look awesome.
So yeah, Miami is a sprint weekend. So sprint qualifying Friday, sprint Saturday, and then qualifying and then race on Sunday.
Nice. And nice big weekend.
I might be wrong. I feel like it was earlier in the day last year because the Grand Prix starts at 4:00.
No, I think that's what it was last time too. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was.
I'm just so used to the European/Asian times, I don't think anything of it.
And you don't want to be doing Miami at like 12:00 in the afternoon. I mean, there's not gonna be a lot of cool down at 4, but at least a little bit of cool down.
True. Then they'll go back to Italy, which they had to skip last year. So.
Yep.
So after a week off.
Oh, the other big news. Nico Hülkenberg, he has left Haas, or is leaving Haas, and he's going to kick Sauber next year.
Oh, and then I saw a rumor that both of the Sauber drivers are out next year.
Well, one of them's definitely out because Nico Hülkenberg is there. So, and I believe Haas is, I think Haas is both their spots are open now too. So there's a lot of open spots. I'm going to go really quick to the F1 page, and I will tell you, because they just posted earlier today, Red Bull, just Max, Ferrari, Leclerc, Hamilton, Aston Martin, just Alonso, Williams, nobody, Kick Sauber is just Hülkenberg, Mercedes, just Russell, McLaren has Norris and Piastri still there, Alpine, nobody, RB nobody and Haas nobody. So it's going to be quite the shakeups going on.
Yeah, I think Danny Ricciardo, by the way, is done. After this. I mean, it was unfortunate for him how he left that race, but
yeah,
he's not doing well this year.
No. I mean, those cars aren't great either, which is crazy because they're still Red Bull cars. They're just not as good.
Yeah. All right. With that, it is time for the dumping ground.
I'm the trash man.
Now, do you have any soccer stuff besides Liverpool completely shitting the bed against Everton this weekend?
Yeah, I was going to be nice chances mention, of winning. I was going to be nice and not mention it at all.
I will bring it up because not because we like different teams, but what a choke down the stretch for Liverpool. I mean, just embarrassing loss after embarrassing loss after embarrassing loss. I mean, one after another after another. I mean, actually, I'm gonna add another one on top of that, because the FA Cup loss at Manchester United was a terrible way to lose the game. They had like two or three leads in that game, which they blew. You lose at home to Crystal Palace. You lose at home in the UEFA Cup. And then this loss to Everton, right? A team you never lose to. You have to win to even stay relevant to win the Premier League, and they got embarrassed in that game. Embarrassed. So there you go. There's Jurgen Klopp's way out is just a complete meltdown in the last 2 months. Sad to see that they're going to go from a possibility of winning four titles to literally probably just winning the League Cup and that's it. So, yeah, you stink. Also, okay, the other thing I want to bring up, Jay, how much you've been following of All Elite Wrestling this past week?
Not much, honestly.
All right, so let's just sum it up real quick for you non-wrestling fans. Tony Khan, as you all know, owns All Elite Wrestling. Him and his father also own the Jacksonville Jaguars. They own Fulham Football Club. So on AEW Wednesday night, he was giving the Meltzer driver, which is a modified pile driver by the Young Bucks. Okay, and we're not going to get into semantics, right? So he's all injured, blah, 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 blah. They're recording the next show. He was in a neck brace backstage. Fast forward to last night's NFL draft, and they're cutting to all the war rooms. And I'm like, please, please. Please, Tony Khan, be in the neck brace. Keep the gimmick going, brother. Like, that's how you do it. There it is. They cut to the war room of the Jaguars. He is wearing that neck brace. That is a loyal soldier to keeping the gimmick. I love it. I love that kind of stuff. And, of course, the Young Bucks are posting photos of him wearing the neck brace in the war room. You got to appreciate a guy like that. You got to appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I got hurt in wrestling. Now I'm hurt for real in the NFL. Oh, fantastic.
At least he didn't stage his own murder and had to take it back a week later.
No, he didn't explode in a limousine. No, they didn't go that far. I always love the people that are like, oh, this is all shitty WCW and oh, he's getting himself involved, blah, 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 blah. First of all, if you watch that whole moment, he didn't even say a word. You know, he's not Vince McMahon, who got himself involved in everything. All the WWE crazy fans. I mean, Vince was in every angle. And
Vince was the heel.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And like, I mean, just you look back at how gross he was with Trish Stratus and everything else that he did. Like, that dude sucks. He sucks. So the WWE, like, hardcore fans, give me a fucking break. If Tony wants to do a little thing like that, just fucking let him. He owns the company. But not to bash it.
He's literally not on TV every week, so.
No, nope. And even then, he didn't say a word. He didn't speak a word. He came out, Jack Perry talked, he shook his hand, Jack Perry hits him, Young Bucks pile drive him. And then actually his dad came out to check on him, so there comes Shad Khan out there. I'm like, his dad's out here checking on him, make sure he's okay. I fucking love wrestling sometimes.
You know, we didn't talk about wrestling. Did we talk about WrestleMania?
A little bit. I think we did.
At least the match for Cody?
Yes, we did. We definitely did.
Right, just because you love wrestling, then it reminded me about them actually using the term wrestling on WrestleMania. Yes.
Yeah.
The sports entertainment.
They're sports entertainers.
All right. So that's it for Dumb and Grand. The one Everton thing I'm going to say, and it's not about the game on Wednesday, is thank God that we finally got some points. I think we're, like, maybe we need to double check this thing. I think we're one match away, realistically, from securing promotion. Or not, safety. Yeah, so we're 8 points ahead with 4 matches to play.
Mm-hmm.
If Everton managed to are 10 points ahead of Burnley. So if they get one win where Luton and Burnley do not,
they'll stay up. Don't even worry about it. They'll be fine.
I'm still waiting for the other point deduction shoe to drop. The Premier League is trying to justify that the the stadium costs need to count.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't resolved it yet. So that's the shoe I'm waiting to drop. The only good thing at this point is that Everton's remaining schedule is Brentford, Luton Town, Sheffield United, and then Arsenal. So they got three winnable matches before they run into Arsenal.
Right. And teams right around you that you can just kick them while they're down.
Yeah. So if you beat them, then it's a double. They're all six pointers, what they call them. So
yeah.
Will help a lot. And hell, even draws honestly work because it stops them from gaining.
Right. Yep. Positive results. It's all you need. Just need points.
All right. With that, though, it is time for the last segment of the show, Truman's Terrible Team of the Week.
That's terrible.
That definitely goes to the Chicago Fire getting absolutely blasted at home 4-0 by Real Salt Lake. Chicago is not good. Real is good, but it doesn't matter. That is just a horrible home loss. Horrible. I mean, you got absolutely trounced. So hats off to you. I think it was 3-0 at the half, too. So at the halftime, people could have just packed their shit and gone home.
At least we haven't lost 4-0 yet.
We have not. Knock on wood.
All right. So is that it?
That's it.
All right. So you can support us at patreon.com/rebelrant, $1 a month. Exclusive content, whatever you decide. By the way, patrons, there's a post up there for an idea. Please go check it out. Let us know what you think. There are comments for it, so you can find the comments. You don't have to worry about sending us a message. Otherwise, I realize you've got to do this last week, the producers for the show. So thank you specifically to Jeremiah Dempster, Steven Santos, Eddie Delecto, and Christopher Edmick for your support for the show.
You guys rule.
Yeah. If you want to email us at redbullrant@gmail.com. Want to call us 973-348-5329. Facebook.com/redbullrant. On Twitter at redbullrant for the show. At Dr. Stooge myself at the Truman for Truman. Subscribe to the show via iTunes, YouTube Music, YouTube, SoundCloud, Spotify. Anywhere you can find a podcast. Last words before we get out of here.
We should make a MySpace page. This is time travel. We'll put all our producers in our top eight. That being said, don't fuck it up this weekend, guys. Come on. You got a great opportunity to 3 points against a tough team, prove you're one of the best in the league, maybe go back top of the Eastern table. Let's just keep the fun train going. I want to tweet out hashtag the Red Bull. I haven't done it in a few weeks. I want to fucking do it again. So don't fuck it up. Get out there and win.
All right, so for tuning in myself, this has been episode 457 of the Red Bull Rant. Thank you guys for tuning in, and as always, go Red Bull.
See ya.